You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Welcome back to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. I am joined by, of course, Trish McFarlane. Trish, how are you today?
I'm good, Steve Bowes. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. I feel like 97.50, something like that. We don't care. Nobody cares.
Oh, well, not
It doesn't matter anymore.
Not $100, huh?
Not quite today. Not quite. It's still early.
Okay. Well, that's, you know what? It's the beginning of the week. It's, you know, yeah, that's understandable.
We're recording this on a Tuesday. It already feels like there's been so much going on. It feels like Thursday afternoon, and like, and I'm counting down to the weekend, and it's like 87 hours away. So not great, but but hey,
not great. No,
we'll you know, not too much to get into. We just did a great two things I want to mention. Actually, three. One, of course, thank our sponsor, Virgin Pulse, www.virginpulse.com. And just as a reminder to listeners, the last show Trish and I did just a few days ago, it's the most current show as we speak, we did with Erica Vellini from Deloitte about the Deloitte Human Capital Trends Report 2018. And good shout out for Virgin Pulse in that show, as well as in the report. So kudos to them. And that's one of my favorite shows, Trish, we've done in quite some time, last week's show.
It was fun, and we didn't have nearly enough time, so we definitely need to have her back on. I mean, once we get into trends, I mean, you could truly, you know, take an hour for each one. So, future show.
And actually, this is really good timing the way these shows have scheduled out. We're going to be talking about today's topic with our guest, who we will welcome here in a second. But one of the topics we didn't get to with Erica, because we ran out of time, was artificial intelligence. And we were planning on talking about that with her, and we didn't. So we're going to talk about that today with our guest, Jean Meister, who's waiting in the wings, and we'll bring her on in 1 second. One more thing, Trish, one more important thing to mention. How was the Logic concert? Because that's what listeners really want to know.
You know, it was one of the better concerts I've ever been to. I'm not going to say it's the best just because I didn't go in a huge Logic fan, but let me just tell you, the teenagers loved it, and it was absolutely amazing. The moms and I had such a good time. Our kids, of course, ditched us, you know, and went off on their own, which is... it's good. They're all in high school. But do you know, I have to tell you, though, there were other rappers before it got to Logic. And the one right before was NF. I don't know if you're familiar with NF, but I was thinking, like, I don't know who this is.
Just his early work, Trish. I kind of faded out. I feel like he sold out a little bit. But go ahead.
No. Okay. This is going to be like, so for the listeners, if you're not into NF or Logic, you need to be. The NF was amazing, like literally amazing. And I knew almost every song. It's songs I've heard on the radio. It's stuff. So it's like, it was one of those situations with Logic a little bit too, where I'm going in, I'm thinking like, oh, I'm going to know one song. No, I actually knew most of NF's work and probably half of Logic. So it was really fun. It was a great time.
Awesome. Well, good.
I might be cooler than I thought.
You
just
are.
A little smidge.
I think so. I think you are. And this is what I know. You're cooler than of this duo here. You're the cool one, because I'll tell you a quick story. Then I promise we'll get onto the show. My concert story. You mentioned you were the chaperone and you had some other moms there, took some kids. I had to do a similar thing a few months back, except I was the only kind of adult, right? There was three or four, you know, 15 to 17 year olds, maybe. I don't know. I wasn't really chaperoning them per se, but concert, right? And they told me it's two bands, right? Let's say, I can't remember the names. Let's say it's Walk the Moon and Imagine Dragons, right? That's the concert, right? And that's, so I've heard some of that stuff. I'll go to the concert. First band comes on. I didn't really know any of the songs. It was decent. Played a few songs, went off. Second band comes on. I knew a few of them. Kind of sounded familiar. Crowd was getting really into it. The place was pretty crowded. They finally finish. Big cheer. Okay, we're done. I leave. I walk out to the car. I text my child. And I said, okay, I'll just meet you back at the car. Because they ditched me as well. And I was never going to find them inside the place. And I'm waiting, right. And I kind of thought it was funny as I was leaving, like no one else was leaving really, just a few people. Most people were kind of milling about for quite some time. I thought that was odd, but I had, you know, I was tired and my ears were hurting. I was ready to go. It's getting late. I get out to the car and about 15 minutes later, I'm texting, where are you, where are you? I get a text back, hey, the headlining band hasn't even come on yet. You know, why did you leave? You know, the big band hadn't even played yet. I got tricked up because they had like an extra.
You didn't even know it.
No, I had no idea. They had a third band, an opening act who I thought, and so I couldn't get back in. They wouldn't let me re-enter, right? So I sat in the car.
Oh, really?
For the remainder of the show. So that's, that's how cool I am. That's my story.
Oh, wow. Well, let's see if you can redeem yourself with technology. You're cool when it comes to tech. So this show will like. This will bring you back into the fold of being cool,
let's,
I think.
Let's bring it back in together. I apologize for telling such a long story to her, especially our guest is waiting so patiently. Our guest today for her third appearance, I believe, on the HR Happy Hour show is Jean Meister. Jean is a partner of the Future Workplace, an HR advisory and research firm assisting organizations in reimagining and reinventing how they operate in the future workplace. She has a deep background and experience in corporate learning, and was awarded the Distinguished Contribution in Workplace Learning Award by the ATD. She's the author of 4 books, and she's passionate about helping organizations rethink how to attract, develop, and inspire employees in a workplace that is rapidly changing. Her latest book is The Future Workplace Experience, 10 Rules for Mastering Disruption in Recruiting and Engaging Employees. Today, we're going to talk with Jean about the topic we didn't talk about last week with Erica, artificial intelligence. And let's just get on with it. Jean, welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show.
Thank you, Steve and Trish. A pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And thank you for your patience as I told that story of my shame at the concert a few months back.
That's funny. If we're sharing, my last concert is I go to Tanglewood every year, and James Taylor arrives on the scene and has been for decades. So it's a blast from the past, and they usually get around 10,000 people. These are, you know, on the lawn.
That's amazing.
It's amazing he still draws that crowd, right?
Yeah, James Taylor. So, I mean, classics, right? A little Fire and Rain, a little Caroline on My Mind, right? That's a good one.
Exactly. Good for you. You didn't even have to go.
That's right. Okay, so cool. We've got it. So, Jean, we're going to talk about how artificial intelligence and human intelligence are sort of combining and kind of coming together to this idea of kind of a modern or enhanced or better employee experience, which is a super topic for us to talk about, especially with HR tech coming up and especially with just the attention and the focus that lots of folks in our industry have on AI. I know you've been working with and researching AI technology and its impact for HR and for workplaces for a while now. Before we sort of dive into some of the themes and some of the important concepts that you talk about a lot, maybe let's just step back, or maybe a half a step back, and say, like, from an HR perspective, what do we really mean by the term artificial intelligence? And how is it different, say, than just other more advanced technologies that are out there?
Yeah, so, well, first of all, there's been so much hype about artificial intelligence, and the focus has been it's going to automate work and remove jobs. So my point of view is that it's actually going to create more jobs. It's changing the nature of work, and AI is being used in all areas in the workplace for routine tasks and to augment key skills. So just a simple definition that I go to is that AI really is software. It's at its very, you know, umbrella term, right? And it denotes software that helps us make decisions. Mm-hmm. And what we usually think of as AI, I mean, we use it all the time and we probably don't even know we're doing it, is how machine learning is helping us, you know, find those songs on Spotify or those recommendations on Netflix. So machine learning is a type of AI where the computer has the ability to learn on its own without being programmed by humans. So I think that's the big decision. You know, usually humans have programmed data and have built decision trees using if, then, and what statements. And now, with the amazing developments in AI and machine learning, machines are trained to really have the ability to learn on their own and develop and look for patterns and serve that up to help us work smarter in the workplace.
Jean, there's so much in that answer, especially that last part about when you talked about the patterns, kind of pattern recognition, that reminds me of the show we did a few months back with Joshua Gans on the prediction machines, right? Because he talked about that at length as well. So it's interesting to see as we continue the conversation about AI, how some of these themes are coming together as we talk to people in completely different kind of disciplines and domains about AI. So, man, it's really interesting. Jean, are people in from your experience or the companies you're working with or talking to about this, is this still kind of brand new territory in HR, or is this starting to become, hey, this is something now that's on the minds of more and more organizations today?
Well, there's a disconnect right now. So we did some research that was we studied about 1,300 U.S. HR leaders in North America. And we found that 70% of the people are using some form of AI in their personal lives, right? Like Netflix and Amazon. But there's only 6%, shockingly low, of HR professionals that are actively deploying AI. And really the other, 94% are in various stages of, some people not even having the discussion with their HR teams and their IT and their business leaders, and then others are looking to do some proof of concepts. So we find that the most amount of traction in the HR space for AI is in talent acquisition, right? So okay. You just think of, all the routine and admin jobs that recruiting coordinators do in terms of scheduling and sourcing and screening and doing the first cut at interviews. So that's where there's the biggest number of vendors, Steve. I'm sure that, if we take a look at the ones that are sponsoring at HR Tech, and for the employers that are using it, the interest is in increasing operation efficiency and basically improving the overall candidate and employee experience. But I had, I go to one quote that I used in my book that I think is basically the real reason why we were going to see that 6% number go way up. And it's your last best experience that anyone has becomes the minimum expectation of experiences that they want everywhere, and I would add, and especially in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So as the tools we use in our personal lives get smarter and help us, companies are starting to wake up, and it's really, I would say, a small set of pioneers that have deployed AI for, in the last, say, 18 months and are just starting to see business results.
It's interesting, Jean. I think when you were talking about sort of at the beginning of your answer about the small percentage of people that are starting to incorporate this into their workplace, but when you mentioned that it's something that we're all really using in our personal lives, and I think a lot of people still don't realize that. I don't think that they really necessarily understand that a lot of the suggestions from whether it's Spotify or Netflix or some of the things that we're actually using quite a bit. And I wonder if it's going to be sort of similar to that timeline that happened when social media came about, right? Everyone was sort of very hesitant to use it in the workplace. And then all of a sudden, it was like a tidal wave, right? Then everybody had to have it. So, I mean, are you getting any sense of that we're kind of coming up on maybe a really big turn to where now everybody's kind of hesitant on AI, but it's going to come all at once? Or do you feel like it's going to be a much slower progression?
No, I think it's going to come all at once. I think that we're entering a tipping point. I think in the Gartner cycle, it's at the sort of the hype. But we're beginning to see, we have a new course called Using AI for HR, where we identified 12 HR pioneers across companies. And what's interesting is that the really early adopters were in technology, right? You're not, you know, not surprisingly, IBM and Intel and Cognizant and Cisco. But as you really dig deep, you're beginning to find restaurants like Maggiano's. You're beginning to find the lodging industry like Hilton and Marriott. And what I where I think it's the traction is going is your companies like in Marriott and Hilton, their chief customer officer developed some interesting chatbot and AI solutions to improve the customer experience. And then they started to partner with HR. So HR is on its journey to create an employee experience that mirrors the best customer experience. And when you go on that journey and mirror the best customer experience, then you're heading right into AI. And that's what I see happening as there's a huge amount of companies outside of tech that are that have proof of concepts now in AI.
Yeah, that's super interesting.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah, and it's sort of I guess I'm getting too old to remember everything. I feel like we had a very similar conversation about the customer side of the experience on this topic recently on the show, and it's sort of escaping me right now. Probably the reason why I didn't realize that concert was over and I left. I'm getting sluggish, slipping my old age. But hey, Gene, one of the things
that's what happens at your age, Steve.
All right, easy there. At my age,
I'm just teasing.
I like when very slightly younger people like to tease just barely older people about their age. That seems unfair, I guess.
But I just wanted to see if you were paying attention, you know, and you were. So good job.
Yeah, I'm sensitive on that subject, I guess. But one of the things we thought
your hearing is still there. That's all it was the hearing test for the ages. But anyway.
Flying colors.
I'm just kidding.
Let's not talk about what else is falling apart. So doing the prep for the show, Gene, I read some things you wrote in Forbes and on LinkedIn about this idea, and I think this is a really important one, right? As AI, and I'll preface this by saying, too, by the way, even though the current research shows maybe only about 6% or a low number anyway of organizations are actively deploying AI or have deployed AI right now. We're doing a bunch of AI sessions, Gene, including one you're doing at HR Tech coming up in about a month or so. And these sessions have been indicated by people who've registered so far as the ones they want to see. Like the AI stuff is going to probably be some of the most popular sessions we're doing at HR Tech. So that goes along with kind of this idea that, hey, this is going to blow up like pretty soon. And, so one of the things you wrote about, really interestingly, I thought, Gene, I thought we could talk about is this idea of, hey, this is really not just about machines and machine learning and algorithms, and et cetera, et cetera. It's really about how organizations and people are going to work with these technologies to drive the best outcomes for organizations and create the best employee experiences. And you kind of laid it out a really kind of interesting kind of set of, concepts or ideas about how that might happen. And I thought maybe we could talk about some of those today on the show, if that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's really where we're headed. It's the combination of artificial intelligence and human intelligence. So what I thought of the many predictions out there was Gartner, which is 1 in 5 employees will work alongside a digital assistant by 2022, which is like right there. Right. And it is really, you know, when we think about the blended workforce for a long time, we've been thinking, oh, those are the people that are the full-time people and the gig economy people. Well, I think this is the newest type of blended workforce. It's your employees, regardless of whether they're full-time or contractors, and a digital assistant that you have to train not only with the right information to answer the questions, depending on how you're going to use them, let's say in the sourcing process that the way that Hilton uses it, or you know you're going to have to train your team on how do they work alongside a bot, You know, what do they delegate to the bot? You know, and start thinking about this chatbot as your newest team member.
That's super interesting, Gene. Like this idea of like, how do we figure out, A, like what are the things we want this technology to do for us? But then B, like how do we get these technologies to kind of perform these tasks or accomplish these tasks in the way that's right for us? One of the things I was thinking about as you were talking, Gene, I was thinking about the chatbot part of this, right? The chatbot element of AI is starting to kind of be everywhere in HR. We see there's a bunch of talent acquisition technologies that are delivering this. And there's quite a few on the service delivery side as well, like for HR help desk kinds of activities I've seen. Yeah. But like, it's my fault for not asking or digging into this too much, but like, I wonder if anybody's thinking about, like in those examples, these chatbot examples, like how to make these chatbots sort of act like the company wants them to act. And by that, I mean, don't just give the right answer, but engage with either the candidate or the employee or whomever it is the bot's engaging with. Engage with them in a way that's consistent with the company's culture, their kind of methods, their mannerisms, their point of view, et cetera, et cetera. It's got to be more than just what's the answer. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. I haven't thought about that too much, but I wonder if you have, Gene. Like, are we starting to think about, hey, like, are there ways to make these kinds of tools fit better, or is that going to be part of HR's job maybe going forward?
I think absolutely. I think the way the bot behaves with your candidates has to be consistent with the way your top performers are addressing the needs, the concerns, and the questions, especially in the candidate experience process. And also, you know, how does using AI help address some of the diversity issues, right? You know, so you're always going to have to really dig down into the assumptions of how a chatbot was trained, and then constantly update that so that it's always aligned with your goals on increasing the diversity of the talent pool. One of the things I tell people is that it's not a mystery, right? And what I did to write that article on Forbes is I actually went on the Hilton career site, and anybody that's listening on the show, and you just enter your zip code and you select the type of job you're looking for, and then you're invited to apply for the job that fits the criteria that you're looking for. And then I think here's the cool part: you get a description of the job and an application link on your cell phone. So especially for these hourly jobs where it's being used a lot in customer call centers or housekeeping in the lodging industry, these folks, by and large, live off their mobile devices, right? They may not, they're certainly not going to be at a desktop or maybe even have a laptop. So the companies that are in this early have figured out that we have to make this seamless and easy and assume that everything needs to happen on this mobile device. And now you can start chatting with a bot. And this is a way, if you're interviewing for a new job, you can just ask about, you know, things like you would normally ask a recruiter, you know, is this job eligible for tuition reimbursement, or, you know, things that you're logically going to have as questions. So the bot is trained, yes, to answer them and answer them in a way that's consistent with the culture and values of the organization. So I have a controversial question for both of you.
Cool.
Okay. So one of my issues as I've been talking to these vendors is, should you tell the candidates that they're talking to a bot? So if you do a search of the bots, you know, Trish, many of them have female names, right? There's Allie and Maya and Jill, as in Jill Watson. And that's probably everybody has figured out that that's a bot because it's, right?
Right.
Others, that's very much under discussion. Should you let the person know that you're actually conversing with a computer, or should you just have the conversation and just keep it sort of transparent and in the background?
I'm more a fan, I guess. I hadn't thought of it so specifically, but I probably lean toward letting them know it's a bot. I think that you know, already from a, in my personal life, whether, you know, whether you're dealing with your car dealership or, you know, just other different, you know, consumer websites, you know, bots come into play all the time, but it's, even though there'll be a picture of a person, I don't know if I just, you know, it's a bot, I guess, when you're dealing with one. So there might be a little bit of that. I don't know. And I think too, I'm trying to think back in my time working on the vendor side, because obviously we were spending quite a bit of time every week, you know, working on the different phases of how we were building AI into the actual solution. I don't know that that specific question came up. I don't know, Steve, how about you? Have you really thought much about that one?
A little bit. And I think it's a great question. And it to me, it's in a way I felt a little similar to that question as what I said about the idea of the culture and kind of the uniqueness of an organization and whether or not we can reflect that in these artificial intelligence tools. And you mentioned the car dealer, Trish. That's a great example. I the other night I was on a website or two for car dealers, right? I have to get a new car soon. And I think on almost every one of them, like this little chat bot pops up, right? And it appears very, very fake. In fact, I'm certain it is. That's not the right word. It's not a real person behind that. It's absolutely a tool, even though there's a picture and it's kind of like, hey, I'm Mary Jane from, you know, blah, 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 car dealer. Let's chat. But the thing about it was like, and this could be just poor website design or just poor, like it just kept this chat bot never, I didn't chat with it at all. Right. I probably closed it a couple times, but it just followed me around and kept bugging me, right? Like to the point where like, you know, I'm done with this particular dealership. This is such a poor experience. I want nothing to do with it. And I know that's not the same, you know, use case kind of thing necessarily as we're talking about here in HR. Although I guess if you had figured out that a particular visitor to your job site was a really interesting and sought after candidate and you really want them to stay engaged with you and you really want them to apply for a job, you might have that tendency to keep bugging them. But for me, though, in terms of the real question Gene asked, I think I'd probably want to know. I think it makes sense to let the person know in an HR perspective, like if you have an AI tool that's say serving that that tier one or that triage role, right, in a help desk scenario, to say, you know, hey, I'm whatever the system name is, or I'm Joe or I'm Jane from, you know, to help you answer your questions, and sort of let the person know that, you know, that we're going to help you get the answer to your question. And if eventually I can't help you, we'll find a smart person who can, you know, kind of thing. I think I'd probably want to know that. And I think we probably want to let employees and candidates know who they're dealing with. Did you see the Google example recently, either of you, with the phone calls? I mean,
I did. So I've been working with, you know, pushing vendors to do just that. I feel that we should all be more transparent, right? And as, you know, we strive for authenticity and transparency in the workplace, we should let people know. And actually, I think it's a good thing. I think a candidate would say, hey, that's really cool. You know, now I can get all my questions answered immediately rather than, you know, be one of the 70% of candidates whose application falls into the black hole. So I think it's a good thing. And I think we should all strive to be transparent here.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me do a quick reset. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. I'm with Trish McFarlane. Our guest today is Gene Meister from Future Workplace. We are talking about AI and different manifestations of AI that are happening in HR and in the workplace. And there's so much to talk about. This is maybe a me problem. Maybe I'm the through line here, Trish. I always get too caught up in things, and we never get to all the topics we want to get to. So I'll blame myself a little bit for that. But one of the things we talked about on the last show with Erica from Deloitte is one of the major trends, Gene, that Deloitte had identified in their 2018 Human Capital Trends report was career paths and the importance of helping employees navigate different, more diverse, more horizontal sometimes career paths and careers as being more about experiences than necessarily like job titles, promotions, etc. And I know in your Forbes piece and other work you've done, you've talked about how AI and machine learning can play a role here in helping employees with career management, career development. I'd love for you to talk about kind of what you're seeing in this area and what may be some of the potential that HR leaders can think about in terms of AI in this kind of career pathing kind of capability.
Yeah, I think it's you know, we focus on talent acquisition, but this is just bubbling up. And I think we want to step back and say, so why are companies looking at AI solutions for what's called internal talent mobility? So one of the recent reports from CEB Global is that people tenure is steadily increasing and people are spending about 30% longer in the roles they have. And it turns out that the number one reason to leave a company used to be fill in the blank, your manager, right? But now it's career opportunities with the company. So you're beginning to see companies adopt what I call a career growth culture rather than a promotion-based culture, because there just aren't enough upward roles that they're offering up to individuals. So you have companies that are using a number of solutions out there to create, you know, sort of an internal career navigation portal, which is almost like the LinkedIn for the company, right? And it's like, okay, tell us about yourself and your passions and all the recent certifications and skills and achievements, and we're going to help you choose your own adventure at the company, right? And so we'll serve up some opportunities for your next possible job that you may not even thought of. So we have IBM's, you know, Micah, you know, my career coach advisor, and we have a tool from Ascendify as another solution. And the whole goal here is employees get a chance to build these personal profiles in depth and then, you know, maybe take a quick assessment and then, you know, work with the career pathing team to see what else that they may never have thought about that they're eligible to be considered in the company. And what, you know, this serves so many purposes. You know, it helps companies really position themselves as this career growth culture. But importantly, you really want people to stay with the organization, right? I mean, you just save a whole bunch of money finding another person and training them in the culture and values. So I see this as, you know, in addition to talent acquisition, the next big reason or and use case for machine learning in HR.
And you know what, Jean, I love what you're saying there, because I think that also opens up a big opportunity for the HR leaders in the organization to step up and do things in their job differently, because the approach has always been to sort of mentor and coach people more or less either up or out, or at least up. And now it really does change the way that succession planning will potentially work going forward. If it's more of a, you know, a matrix type circular movement around an organization. And I loved how you put it, where you were talking about how it's maybe jobs that are, you know, next steps that they hadn't really thought of before, because the, you know, the solution is able to sort of serve those up. That's the perfect example of how you can use skills that maybe they're using outside of their current job, outside of the organization, and bring those skills in. And now they've, you know, opened up a different path altogether. So I think, though, that's where HR is probably a little bit behind the scenes and behind the times with that approach. So they'll need to certainly sort of step up their game as well.
Absolutely. It's you know, forget the ladder. It's more like a jungle gym, right? You can go exactly. In different ways, and the solution will help and guide you along the way. And so many of the succession planning processes are clearly out of date, right? So we spent the last couple of years talking about the need to reinvent performance management. So you have check-ins and you have lots of new tools to change that from yearly to, you know, daily or weekly, if you will. Succession planning is the next big area to be totally reinvented. And it's with AI is how it's going to be reinvented.
I think that's probably a really interesting opportunity too, right, for some of the organizations. We know, Trish, a lot of the vendor community listens to the show as well, and maybe some of them are working on this right now, but I think you're absolutely right on, Gene. Like, I think there's a huge opportunity there. There's also a data play here too, where machine learning and kind of more advanced technologies to understand the data can come into play here as well. Like, we've seen a little bit of this on the more straightforward kinds of processes, say around compensation, things like that, where like if a vendor acquires enough data about enough people working in organizations that they can help help their users and help their client companies come up with intelligent recommendations around things like what should we offer a truck driver in the Northeast, right? Well, we know that because our system processes the pay for 17,000 truck drivers in the Northeast, right? So, but similarly, these larger organizations or the companies that have really, really big data sets, like the big payroll providers, maybe some of the big ERP providers, maybe even a LinkedIn too, and maybe they're doing some of this now, can help organizations or can produce kinds of interesting solutions or capabilities that help people kind of manage these pathways a little bit more clearly. It's definitely a big opportunity for sure.
Yeah, and it becomes even bigger when you think about the growth employee segment are millennials, right, who are just, you know, the latest percentage, right, anywhere from 50 to 75% of the global workforce. And they're just getting started, and they really don't know what they want, but they know what they love, right? And they know where they think they know where they want to go. And we know also, having children, the quality of the career planning in, you know, high schools and universities. So this is really a big value that organizations can offer their employee population.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've got just a couple of quick comments on that. One is, I have a son. Trish is a parent as well. We've been around a lot of kids in different times. Trish probably more than me. But from my point of view, I can say I'm really worried about the future. I'm horrified, actually, from what I've seen.
That's why.
Yeah. Why are you horrified?
I'm sort of joking.
You're awful.
But I am going to be glad, though. I've been bashing the millennials for quite some time now, and I've enjoyed doing it for the last 7, 8, 9 years. And I am setting my sights squarely on Gen Z from now forward. I'm on them.
I'm not on them because those are the very people that are going to take care of me. So I'm going to treat them really, really well. At least that's what I'm doing so far.
Good. That's actually probably a better strategy.
Hey, and you know, I told you, we're very popular with that generation on our Alexa show. So you need to be very nice about that.
You told me
that. I've told him, so it's interesting. We started the HR Happy Hour on Alexa, which is like a little 2 to 3 minute, a flash briefing on your Amazon Echo or Dot. And it's funny, where I live, all of the teenagers think that's really cool that they can like wake up and like hear me or Steve in the morning. So we've got a big fan base growing, Steve.
I think that's super cool.
I think that's awesome. And we're keeping that going for sure. So, hey, you know, this has been really interesting and fun. We probably should think about like maybe what's kind of a way, and this is such a huge topic, and this is kind of the problem we ran into on the last show too. Like we're taking on these really, really huge topics and trying to digest them in 35, 40 minutes, and it's challenging. But Gene, as you're thinking about this and working with organizations and talking to lots of organizations who are a little bit more progressive than others, I mean, I'll say it a little differently, Gene, and this would be a little self-serving too. If I'm an HR person who's in that 94% right now, right, who's not been engaging with these tools yet in our organization, but really thinking about them and looking for ways to make an impact, maybe come in the HR Tech Conference to learn about some of the technology itself and learn from people like yourself about these concepts. Is there a couple of things you tell that person about kind of getting started along this path and what you'd think about if you were in their shoes?
Absolutely. Well, number one, definitely come to HR Tech,
yes,
right?
Of course.
Definitely come to my panel discussion. I think the first thing is be curious. And for example, in our course, we're starting with, not only a primer on the fundamentals of artificial intelligence, but what are the tools that can help you individually improve your personal productivity, right? What are the chatbots that are out there that can help you schedule meetings? And some of them are free or nearly free. So in order for you to get a sense of what this can do for the organization, you have to get your hands dirty. You have to be curious. And Trish, I'm reminded of what you said about the social media journey. I think that's how a lot of people started way back when. They started personally using, you know, YouTube and Facebook and the rest of them, Google+, And then they thought about, okay, how do we develop a strategy for how we're going to use it in the workplace? So I think we have to challenge ourselves to go to a place where we feel comfortable when it's uncomfortable for us, right? So that would be my first step. And my second would be take a look at some, you know, have HR be the pioneer, right? So take a look at some of the roles within the HR space, like recruiting coordinator or L&D, LMS administrator, and identify what are the activities within those roles that are routine and repetitive. Because the latest research from McKinsey is that it's not that roles will totally go away, but they're saying that 60% of all, in 60% of all jobs, about 30% of the activities. Mm. So focus on the activities within some of these sort of frontline roles. HR service center would be another one. And then this whole strategy to develop a strategy for AI is not just an HR strategy. I mean, you can't do this alone. You have to pick people to go with you on the journey, right? And it's IT and it's marketing and it's AI and it's HR coming together and agreeing on, what's the business problem that you're trying to solve? And when we interviewed people for the Forbes column and in other ways, they all started with, okay, here's the business problem that I'm trying to solve. And, you know, they would say if they were in talent acquisition, you know, I want to shorten the time it takes to fill new job openings, or I want to improve the quality of the candidate experience. So be really clear about the problem you're solving and then figure out who you're going to work with to solve it.
Gene, that's a great way to kind of summarize some of the things we talked about and kind of also challenge people to think a little bit more broadly and a little bit more deeply about these, because it's such a huge topic, but it's an important one and one that's offers huge opportunity. And like I said, based on what I'm seeing with HR Tech and what's going to happen in at that event next month and how much attention and people will be lined up to check out all these sessions and meet with all the vendors. It's I think we're just at the beginning. Like, this is a great time to be in this space for sure. And it's only going to get bigger. So, Gene, thank you so much for joining us and sharing some of your insights. You can find Gene at, of course, futureworkplace.com, right? I have that right, don't I?
Absolutely. Yes. You can find me at HR Tech on September 12th at 3:30, and you could go to my course website, Using AI for HR, and see what we have planned to upskill the function on some of these key topics.
Gene, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you in about a month or so, 6 weeks time, out at HR Tech.
Yes, see you in Vegas. Both
yeah,
of you.
I can't wait.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gene. Gene's one of my favorite guests. It's great to have her back and kind of make this a regular thing with Gene on the show. So thank you so much again, Gene. Trish, thank you. Great show today. Any more rap concerts in your future that we should know about, or kind of laying low maybe for until you?
No, I think my next big concert is All For Me, and it's Def Leppard and Journey. So I'll be a very happy person.
There you go. Awesome. So, well, thank you. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to our show sponsor, Virgin Pulse. Check them out at www.virginpulse.com and subscribe to the HR Happy Hour show wherever you get your podcast. My name is Steve Bowes. For Trish McFarland, our guest Gene Meister, that's it from the HR Happy Hour show. We will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.